closer I get to home, though, the bigger the grin on my face. And when I burst in the kitchen, I got a smile from ear to ear. Dad's having his coffee, and Ma's in the living room listening to the Sunday morning service by Brother Jonas. She watches him every Sunday at 7, which tells me what time it is already. "Where you been?" says Dad. And I can tell Ma's paying attention, too.
"You up and gone? We got to worrying."
I slide into my chair and almost have to push my cheeks in to keep the smile from going all the way around my head. "Went to see Jed Travers," I say, still breathless, "and I'm buying his dog." Ma gets up and comes to the kitchen doorway.
"What?"
"Thought he wasn't selling," says Dad, looking at me hard. "He wasn't, but I talked him into it.
He needs help around his place, and he says if I work hard for him for 20 hours at $2 an hour, that will pay the $40 he wants for Shiloh." Ma's smile getting broader by the minute. "I don't believe it," she says. "Shiloh's yours?" "Not yet, but he will be, and we don't have to take him over to Judd's." Before I can get the last word out, she's got her arms around me, squeezing the breath from my chest almost. I think Shiloh can smell Judd Travers on me. He can smell the deer's blood, too. I know by the way he sniffs my shoes. But finally, he just can't stand it no more. He's joyful I'm back, and he's licking me, welcoming me home. But Dad's still studying my face.
"I can't figure it, Marty. Judge seemed pretty definite about keeping that dog. What was said between you?"
I really didn't want to lie no more. If I tell Ma and Dad everything except about the deer, that's lying by omission, Ma says, not telling the whole truth. But if I tell about the deer after promising Judd I wouldn't, then I would have lied to Judd. Rather lie to Judd than my folks. But I figure it this way. Dad wouldn't report Judd, even if he saw him shoot a doe out of season, because that's the way it's always been around here. That don't necessarily make it right, of course. But with him feeling that way, nothing's going to change if I do tell him about Judd and the deer. And because I promise not to, I don't. Right now, the most important thing to me is Shiloh. "Told him I wasn't going to give Shiloh back no matter what," I tell Dad. They are sure staring at me now, him and Ma.
"You said that to Judd Travers?" Dad asked, scooting back in his chair.
"Only thing left to say. Only thing I could think of to do. I hadn't tried already. Was going to tell him he could take me to court and I'd tell the judge how he kicked his dogs. But didn't have to go that far. Guess he needs help around his place." Ma turns to Dad. "You know, I think it's because Shiloh was hurt. I think he figures that dog's never going to be what it was, and that's why he was willing to let it go. Figured he got rid of a lame dog and the best of the bargain, too." "That's what I figure," I say. And at last, Dad begins to smile.
"So we got ourselves a new member of the family," he tells me.
And that's about the nicest thing I heard said in this house in my life. Then Becky and Daryl Lynn wakes up, sad-faced, because they think we got to take Shiloh over to Judd's. I tell them the news, and Daryl Lynn, she starts dancing. Becky joins in, whirling herself around, and then Shiloh smiling his dog smile, everybody whooping and carrying on. Ma turns off the TV and makes waffles with a big pad of margarine in the center of each one and hot homemade brown sugar syrup filling the plates. She even makes a waffle for Shiloh. We're going to make that dog sick if we're not careful.
"Well, now all we got to worry about is how we can afford to feed him as well as ourselves," Dad says finally. "But there's food for the body and food for the spirit. And Shiloh, sure enough, feeds our spirit."
We about pet Shiloh to death. Every time he turns around, somebody's got a hand on him somewheres. I take him out for his first gentle run since he got hurt. And once up on the hill, him running free, the good feeling inside me grows bigger and bigger, and I have to let it out. I hunch up my shoulders and go, "Hee-ow!" Shiloh jumps and looks at me. "Hee-ow!" I go again, out of joy and jubilation, the way they do in church. And suddenly Shiloh joins in with a bark, a pitiful kind of bark, like he's got to be taught how. But it's a happy bark, and he's learning. Only bit of sadness left in me is for the deer. Wondering, too, about whose business it is when someone breaks the law. Wonder if Dad wouldn't ever tell on Judd, no matter what he done. Bet he would. There's got to be times that what one person does is everybody's business. Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I'm waiting on Judd's porch when he pulls up. All his dogs is chained out to the side of the house, and they get to barking like crazy. I don't try to get near them, because a chained dog can be mean. I've already restacked Judd's woodpile, but he wants me to do it again. But the big piece is here, the little one's there. He is looking mean and grumpy. Like maybe he's disgusted with himself for letting me have that dog so easy. When I finish the woodpile, Judd hands me the hoe. You see that garden? I nod. You see that corn? I want the dirt chopped up so fine I can sift it through my fingers, he tells me. Now I see what he's getting at. He's going to make it so there's no way I can please him. I'll put in my 40 hours, and he'll tell me my work wasn't no good. He wants his dog back. I hoe till I got blisters on both hands, sweat pouring down my back. Wish I could do my work in the early morning before the sun's so fierce. But I don't complain. I take off my t-shirt finally, wrap it around my head to keep the sweat out of my eyes, and I keep on. Shoulders so red, I know they'll hurt worse than anything the next morning. And they do. Next afternoon, Judd sets me to scrubbing down the sides of his trailer and his porch, shining up the windows, raking the yard. He sits on a folding chair in the shade, drinking a cold beer. Don't offer me nothing, even water. I hate him more than the devil. My mouth's so dry it feels like fur. Third day, though, he puts out a quart jar of water for me when I go to pick his beans. I bend over them rows so long, dropping the beans into a bucket, I think I'm going to be bent for life. When I'm through, Judd sort of motions me to the porch, like I can sit there if I want while I drink my water. I almost fall onto that porch, glad to be in the shade. Looks like you got yourself some blisters, he says. I'm okay, I tell him, and take another long drink. How's Shiloh? He asks. First time he's called the dog by that name. He's doing fine. Still got a limp, but he eats good. Judd lifts his beer to his lips. Would have been a good hunting dog if I could just have kept him home, he says. The other dogs never run off. I think about that a while. Well, I say finally, each one is different. That's the truth. Kick one and he just goes under the porch for an hour. Kick another and he goes off and don't come back. I'm trying my best to think what to say to that. Like how come he is to kick them at all? Then I figure nobody likes to be preached at, no matter how much he needs it. Least of all Judd Travers, who's 30 years old if he's a day. Some dogs, it just makes them mean when you kick them, I say finally. Other dogs, it makes them scared. Shiloh got scared.
Never beat my dogs with a stick, Judd goes on. Never did that in my life.
I don't say anything right away. Finally, though, I ask, how your dogs doing?
Raring to go out rabbit hunting, Judd says.
We look over at his three dogs, all pulling at their chains and snarling at each other.
That biggest dog now, Judd goes on. He is the loudest squaller I got. I can tell from his racket whether he's following a fresh track or an old one. If he's running a ditch, swimming, or tree to coon.
That's pretty good, I say.
Littlest one, he's nothing but a trashy dog. He'll run down most anything except what I'm after. Hope the others will learn him something. And the middle dog, well, she gives a lot of mouth to. Even barks at dead trees.
The dogs are fighting now, and Judd throws his Pabst can at them.
You'll shut up, he yells. Hush up!
The can hits the biggest dog, and they all scatter.
Don't much like being chained, Judd says.
Guess nobody would, I tell him. I put in 10 hours that week, meaning I make up 20 of the dollars I owe him. Got one more week to go. When I leave of an afternoon for Judd's, Shiloh goes with me just so far. Then he gets to whining and turns back. I'm glad he won't go on with me. Don't want him anywhere near Judd Travers. Monday the second week, it seemed like Judd's out to break my back, or my spirit, or both. This time he's got me splitting wood. I got to roll a big old piece of locust wood over to the stump in his side yard, drive a wedge in it, then hit the wedge with a sledgehammer again and again till the wood falls apart in pieces to fit his wood stove. Then another log and another. I can hardly get the sledgehammer up over my head. When I bring it down, my arms are so wobbly, my aim ain't true. I almost dropped the hammer. This ain't a job for me. And if Dad saw what Judd was making me do, he'd tell him it wasn't safe. But Judd's out to teach me a lesson. And I'm out to teach him one. So I keep at it. No, it takes me twice as long as Judd to split that wood. But I don't stop. And all the while, Judd sits on his porch, drinking his beer, watching me sweat. Sure does his heart good, I can tell. Then he says something that almost stops my heart cold. Laughs and says,
boy, you sure are putting in a whole lot of work for nothing.
I rest my back a moment, wipe one arm across my face. Shiloh's something, I tell him.
You think you're going to get my dog just because you got some handwriting on a piece of paper?
Judd laughs and drinks some more.
Well, that paper's not good for anything but to blow your nose on. Didn't have a witness.
I look at Judd.
What you mean? You don't even know what's legal and what's not, do you? Well, you show a judge a paper without a witness's signature, he'll laugh you right out of the courthouse. Got to have somebody sign that he saw you strike a bargain.
Judd laughs some more.
And nobody here but my dogs.
I feel sick inside, like I could maybe throw up. Can't think of what to do or say, so I just lift the sledgehammer again. Go on splitting the wood. Judd laughs even harder.
What are you, boy? Some kind of fool?
And when I don't answer, he says,
what you breaking your back for?
I want that dog, I tell him, and raise the sledgehammer again. That night, when I'm sitting out on the porch with Ma and Dad, Shiloh in my lap, I check it out. What's a witness? I say. Somebody who knows the Lord Jesus and don't mind telling about it, says Ma. No, the other kind.
Somebody who sees something happen and signs that it's true, Dad says. What you got in mind now, Marty?
You make a bargain with somebody, you got to have a witness? I ask, not answering.
If you want it done right and legal, I suppose you do.
I can't bear to have Dad know. I was so stupid, I made an agreement with Judd Travers without a witness.
What you thinking on?
Dad asks again, hunching up his shoulders while Ma rubs his back.
Just thinking how you sell something is all. Land and stuff.
Dad looks at me quick.
You're not trying to sell off some of my land for that dog, are you?
No, I tell him, glad I got him off track. But I sure am worried. Every trace of that deer is gone now. Don't know what Judd done with the meat. Rented him a meat locker somewhere, maybe. But there's no bones around, no hide. I report him now. I can't prove a thing.
Next day, Judd Travers calls me dumb. Sees me waiting for him on his steps and says I must have a head as thick as a coconut. Didn't he already tell me that the paper wasn't worth nothing?
I just look straight through him.
You and me made a bargain, I say. And I aim to keep my part of it. What you want me to do today?
Judd just points to the sledgehammer again and doubles over laughing, like it's the biggest joke he ever played on somebody in his life. I can feel the sweat trickle down my back, and I ain't even started yet. 4 o'clock comes, and I finally finished all that wood. But Judd pretends he's asleep. Got his head laid back, mouth half open, but I know it's just another way he's got to trick me. He wants me to sneak on home. Then he'll say I never kept to my part of the bargain. So I go in his shed, put the sledgehammer back, take out the sickle, and go tackle the weeds down by his mailbox. Work on them weeds a whole hour, and when 5 o'clock comes, I start back toward the shed. See him watching me. I walk over.
Sickle's getting dull, Judd. You got a whetstone around? I could sharpen it for you.
He studies me a good long while.
In the shed,
he says. I go get it. Sit out on a stump, running the whetstone over the blade.
Past 5 o'clock, says Judd.
I know, I say. I ain't gonna pay you 1 cent more, he says.
It's okay, I tell him.
Never saw a look on a man's face like I see on his. Pure puzzlement is what it is. Thing I decide on when I head for Judd's again the next day is that I got no choice. All I can do is stick to my side of the deal and see what happens. It's all in the world I can do. If I quit now, he'll come for Shiloh, and we're right back where we started. I don't want to make him mad. No use having a winner and loser, or the bad feelings would just go on. Don't want to have to worry about Shiloh when he's running loose and I'm in school. Don't want to feel the judge so sore at me he'll think up any excuse at all to run his truck over my dog. Only sign in this world we're making progress is the water Judd puts out for me. This day it even has ice in it. And Judd don't say one more word about a witness. In fact, when I'm through working and sit down on his porch to finish the water, Judd talks a little more than usual. Only bond we got between us is dogs, but at least that's something. I decide to say something nice to Judd. Tell him how good-looking his dogs are.
Giving a compliment to Judd Travers is like filling a balloon with air. You can actually see his chest swell up.
40, 30, and 45, he says, when I tell about his dogs.
Those are their names now?
What I paid for them, he says.
If they had a little more meat on their bones, I figure they'd be the best-looking hounds in Tyler County, I tell him.
Judd sits there, turning his beer around in his hands, and says,
maybe could use a bit more fat.
I nurse my water along a little, too.
When did you first get interested in hunting? I ask him. Your pa take you out when you was little?
Judd spits. Didn't know a man could drink beer and chew tobacco at the same time, but Judd does.
Well, I'd say twice, he says. Only nice thing about my dad I remember.
It's the first time in my life I ever felt anything like sorry for Judd Travers. If you weighed on a postal scale, it would hardly move the needle at all. But I suppose there was a fraction of an ounce of sorry for him somewhere inside me. When I thought on all the things I'd done with my own dad and how Judd could only remember hunting, well, that was pretty pitiful for a lifetime. Thursday, when I get there, Judd's meanness has got the best of him again. Because I can see he's running out of work for me to do, just giving me work to make me sweat. Dig a ditch to dump his garbage in, he says. Hoe that cornfield again. Scrub that porch. Weed that bean patch. But close on to 5 o'clock, he seems to realize that I'm only going to be there one more time. I'd worked real hard that day. Did anything he asked and done it better than he asked me to.
Well, one more day, Judd says when I sit down at last with my water and him with his beer. What you gonna do with that dog once he's yours?
Just play, I tell him. Love him. We sit there, side by side, while the clouds change places, puff out, the wind blowing them this way and that. I'm wondering how things would have turned out if it hadn't been for that deer. If I'd just knocked on Judd's front door 2 weeks ago and told him I wasn't giving Shiloh up, what would have happened then? To tell the truth, I think Ma's right. Judd would have sold him to me by and by because of Shiloh's limp. Judd's the kind that don't like that in a dog, same as he don't want a dent or a scratch of any kind on his pickup truck. Makes him look bad, he thinks. His truck's got to be perfect to make up for all the ways Judd's not. The last day I worked for Judd, he inspects every job I do, finds fault with the least little thing, keeps pestering me, making me hang around, do my work over. When it's time to go, I say, well, I guess that's it then. Judd don't answer. Just stands in the doorway of his trailer looking at me. And then I get the feeling he's going to tell me I can take that paper he signed and use it for kindling. Tell me I can call the game warden if I want. There's not a trace of that deer left. The 2 weeks of work I put in for him was just long enough for rain to wash away the blood, for the field grass to spring back up again where the deer was shot. He still don't say anything, though, so I start off for home, chest tight.
Just a minute, says Judd.
I stop. He goes back inside the trailer, me waiting there in the yard. What am I going to say? He tries that. What am I going to do? And then Judd's back in the doorway again. And he's got something in his hand. Comes down the steps halfway.
Here, he says.
And it's a dog collar. An old collar, but better than the one Shiloh's got now.
Might be a little big, but he'll grow into it.
I look at Judd and take the collar. I don't know how we done it, but somehow we learned to get along. Thanks a lot, I tell him.
You got yourself a dog, he says.
And goes inside again. Don't even look back. I get home that evening, and Ma's baked a chocolate layer cake to celebrate. A real cake, too, not no Betty Crocker. After dinner, Ma and Dad on the porch, four of us rolls around on the grass together. Daryl Lynn, Becky, Shiloh, and me. Becky tries to give Shiloh her butterfly kiss, but he don't hold still long enough to feel her eyelashes bad against him. Just got to lick everywhere on her face. And long after Becky and Daryl Lynn goes inside, I lay out there on my back in the grass, not caring about the dew. Shiloh against me crosswise, his paws on my chest. I look at the dark closing in.
the sky getting more and more purple, and I'm thinking how nothing is as simple as you guess. Not right or wrong, not Judd Travers, not even me or this dog I got here. But the good part is, I saved Shiloh and opened my eyes some. Now that ain't bad for 11.